Hi there, I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer and tarot card reader. I have just completed the Leo Studio Tarot Astrology reading, and I'm now here with the tarot portion of the reading. I have also got some runes handy. Pardon me while I turn all these cards facing the same way. I am using an old Tarot de Marseille deck, a French deck. I've been reading tarot cards since 1987, maybe 88, one of those years, and I've grown to prefer old decks. Among the new decks I like are the Handel Tarot by Herman Handel and Rachel Pollack. And I am also fond of the Voyager deck. But I find I get the best results with the Jodorowsky Kamian Tarot. Now I'm still looking for, that's Marseille Tarot. I'm still looking for my miniature version of that deck. So in the meantime, I'm using this fairly classical Tarot de Marseille deck, and you know, it's just like it's not cluttered with all these modern concepts, and the minor arcana are not illustrated. They're just basically the suits, and so this leaves your imagination room to explore and to experiment. And this, I think, is the third tarot reading of the modern era. And we're all shuffled. And now I am going to cut the deck. And let's pose a question here, which is, what is the best approach for you to live, sidestepping and like, let's say, helping you resolve the not-self themes, the not-self indicators that I identified in the astrology reading? The not-self indicators are, I'm adding a couple of my own because I think they're variants. Frustration for generators and manifesting generators, anger for manifestors, bitterness for projectors, and disappointment for reflectors. And I would say that along with these would come guilt and resentment. Guilt and resentment. These are all forms of fear. They're all unloving thought forms, which in Course in Miracles terms would qualify them as forms of fear. If you are only a customer of this tarot card reading, I do want to add a version of the comment that I put at the top of the astrology reading, which is that we are living under this extreme challenge that a few people are recognizing, few people are giving words to, they're not giving it a name, which is this extreme challenge of existing as a conscious being under digital conditions which serve mainly to take us out of ourselves. In order to you know, be kind of confidently grounded in who you are, in digital times requires amazing strength and inner vision. And what I love about astrology and tarot is while they seem to be outside of us, really what they are describing are internal environmental conditions. They're much more of an inner reflection of who and what you are. And they are the only tools that I know of that are able to address the utter chaos of the times we're living in. The utter chaos and onslaught of constant, nonstop change that is unparalleled in any time in history. I mean, it's almost like we're the dinosaurs and a meteor has struck, which has brought on a kind of a global shift in climate and the existence of our species is threatened. Now, all the dinosaurs didn't just die one day. This is climate change, right? This is a change in the environment. Presumably, this is how the story goes. So let's take it for what it's worth. A change in the environment brought on by a cataclysmic event that did not get its results in 5 minutes. It took time. It worked out over a long period of time. And we are in an even faster long period of time. And regardless of what happens to the human race, your particular human experience is the thing that I'm here to address. I have no purpose except for you. I'm not really interested in all of society. I'm not interested in sweeping changes that affect many people. I am here speaking to you as an individual. And I'm just here to acknowledge that you, as an individual, are living and attempting to hold your salinity in a time when we are being bleached. The salinity metaphor is that saltwater fish have the challenge of keeping the salt out. Freshwater fish have the challenge of keeping the salt in. Because the most important law in marine biology is the law of diffusion. Law of diffusion says that things will move from the area of greater concentration to the area of lesser concentration. The thing inside of you that is in the area that is the thing of greater concentration in you is your humanity. That is what the environment is trying to take out of you at all times. And perhaps this is a conscious effort. Perhaps it is not a conscious effort. Perhaps it's some combination of a conscious effort and not a conscious effort. But we're all aware of what's going on, even though we don't acknowledge it and we don't usually put it to words. But every time I open up the microphone, I'm inspired to remind you of the challenge that you face in existing now. It is the challenge of constantly being either compelled to in some way act against your interest and your nature, or being told who you are, or having who you are so watered down that you basically completely forget. And I am here to be an influence to remind you of who you are. Let's see what the cards say. That is what we are here to talk about. So let's go to the Jumbotron. Let me adjust the camera for the Jumbotron. Painting by Chris Hawkins. Thing behind me. Isn't that beautiful? All right, and the cut. The cut's important. Cut's important. And in the cut, you read the cut. Well, this is perfect. So let's start with reading the cut. We get three cards. We get the Two of Swords, which is peace. We get the Sun, which is basically you. And we get death, which is the process of regeneration and transformation. And so that is a way of saying to be at peace. Let's give the carpenter pencil a try. Be at peace, being yourself in a time of total total reorganization and transformation of the very substance of being, which is what we are living through. This is what we are living through. Okay, so let's close up the cut. And I'm gonna, because this board is so slippery, I'm just gonna hold the cards in my hand, and I will show you choosing them, and I'm gonna put them down face down. Now I haven't. I should probably get a wider shot by moving this Aleister Crowley book. Let's stand that up here. The General Principles of Astrology. That's what that looks like. The General Principles of Astrology. And I haven't got this this visual perfect yet for tarot, but I'm using a spread called the Celtic Wing spread, developed for my work on the Jackie Stallone psychic hotline, which was my first job. And one of the properties of this spread is that it doesn't matter what order you draw the cards in, because that can get you're working quickly, and so spreads are basically programmable. You ask. That goes here, that goes here, that goes here. Oh, we've got almost everyone. We're going to need a little. So, the best way for you to thrive and adapt in your environment. Good question. So this first top card, I turn this over first. This is about what you want. Let's leave this upside down. So this is the card of smoking too much weed or drinking too much alcohol or generally indulging to a degree that is detrimental to you in some way. Indulging to a degree that is detrimental or some form of not wanting the truth or reality. Now, it came out upside down. I don't usually read inversions, but occasionally I do. I save the inverted cards for special occasions. And the implication is that you don't really want this, but you don't know how to let it go, nor do we know, since I don't have you sitting here, I'm not interviewing you, what form this might take. But let's think of it as releasing your attachment to anything that is not true. Anything that's not true. Okay. Now we can look at the first card. This is what covers you. This is the keynote, significator. So this is a bit oppressive, right? This is, and we all feel like this now, because we're basically living in this kind of treadmill. We are living in a digital treadmill. It is very, very challenging to be in this environment that we're in, particularly where it comes to work and getting the return for work. The digital environment has turned almost everyone into a kind of a slave of some kind, and I even suspect that the billionaires at the top are the most enslaved at all. I mean, yeah, sure, Jeff Bezos has a 250-foot yacht that no one possibly needs. His wife thinks she's an environmentalist. Their yacht has a yacht. It has a helipad on board. It's got everything. There's no way to have a 250-foot yacht and not be a prisoner of it. And in the much smaller sense, You know, this is like all the money is made by 1% of the OnlyFans girls. And probably on Substack. I mean, if my little Substacks are like top 50, people are not making money. So this is this kind of slave treadmill of the digital environment. 10 of wands. Don't worry, these are not very happy cards. These describe the situation from which we are going to grow out of. All right, this surrounds you and is in the process of being. So this is the lovey-dovey card. And it's suggesting a past relationship, probably an immediate past relationship. I would just say check in with what's happening. And is that a relationship that you actually want? And if it is a relationship that you want, focus on that fact, and let's see what the rest of these cards say about that. So this is like the present becoming the past. This is the 4 month or so past, unless it indicates something. Now the Judgment card, that's the first major arcana card we've got. And the message of the Judgment card is to suspend judgment, or you cannot judge, right? It's a reminder that you can't really judge. Judgment is for God. Humans can evaluate. God judges. And then also there is the image of people being called to life. And so we have a picture of the potential response to being called to life in the other cards. But the question is, you know, how is this going to play out? And does being called to life, you know, back to life, right? The dead awakening, right? That's the image of the Judgment card, is the dead awakening. Does being called back to life mean realizing, oh man, there's all this overwork and oppression, and there's all of this kind of attempting to go in the direction of mistaken or deceptive beliefs? There is a relationship that may or may not be serving you. You have to really ask about that. And if you feel the relationship is serving you, have that conversation with the person. And if you feel it's not serving you, have the conversation with the person. This is not saying throw the relationship away. And I would never, ever come up with that interpretation. I would find some other way to interpret the cards. Now, this is kind of where I thought we might be going. So the Star is one of those cards where the implication is that you really have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. And so, therefore, it looks to me like you're going to encounter and or confront the truth of this focus on mistaken or deceptive belief and this sense of being oppressed. And whatever the situation is in this relationship, and actually respond to being called to awakening. This is an important aspect. Okay, this is resistance, and it also came up inverted, but I'm gonna write it. But let's remember that it came up inverted. So the Empress is the all-dominating female. This could be an organizing, executive function type influence, but it's also in the place of resistance. And so in the place of resistance, particularly if you're a woman, which you probably are, but you might not be. It is saying the caution is against resisting your own leadership. Resisting your own leadership. You do not need to resist your own leadership. Let yourself be the leadership principle that you need. Do not look outside yourself for the influence of leadership. Okay? Here's outside of yourself. These two cards represent the outside of yourself. This spread, by the way, is a variant on the Celtic cross spread. It's just a little more efficient. And also, one of the things I added was, in the Celtic cross spread, there's only one card that indicates your environment. It's very difficult to read one card for a whole topic because the reading, the meaning comes from context. So this is externally the sense that people are happy. And you may feel a very stark contrast. For example, if this really describes your state of mind, 10 wands, and this describes how you either experience or perceive people, 10 cups, that's a lot of contrast. It's not a very happy contrast. It may lead you to feel like you're missing out in some way. It may lead you to feel like you are like not living your best life. But further modifying it, we get the Devil card. Now, it's not about the devil. The devil card is a little bit like Jeff Bezos and his new bride on their 250-foot yacht tethered to their material reality. That's what the Devil card is about. The Devil card is about being tethered to the material reality of anything. It's not this. It may be this. The Devil card is more like being tethered to the material reality of work. So, the implication here is, look beyond what you see, what you perceive as the happiness of others. And don't worry about it so much. Your calling is to be focused on the truth of your being. That is the only path for you. There is no other. And that will address this. It will address this. And it will help prevent you from getting caught in this kind of spiritual materialism, as Trungpa Rinpoche put it. And here the Death card comes up again. So what we get is this picture of, you know, being less attached to the material level of things and more focusing on your need to grow. Your need to grow. And this, in the astrology reading, this comes up rather bigly in the very strong emphasis on the ninth house. I mean, there's a lot going on, but in the chart of Leo, the ninth house is really where the action is. And the ninth house is your spiritual and what you might think of as your karmic journey. All right, we've still got a couple of cards to draw. One goes here, which is a kind of a summary. Now that we've changed everything by knowing what these cards say. So let's see what comes up here. All right. That checks out. So this is the root of the powers of Earth. This is really one of the high cards in the deck. It's the essentially the Ace of Diamonds, and between the Ace of Cups and the Ace of Diamonds, you know, tied for my favorite cards. One of the purposes of this position is to check what I've said previously, and so I think that in any reading there needs to be a way to check. You have to ask. I mean, it's a little like checking your muscle test by way of your muscle test, but which it depends on what you're doing with your muscle test, how seriously you take it. If you're going to make the kinds of pronouncements that some people make about others with their muscle test, well, you should probably have a better reality check than just using your muscle test. But I know that I haven't said anything that could be potentially construed as being all that misleading. I am curious about what it would look like to let go of an attachment to self-deception. Ah, okay. This looks to me like an attachment to disappointment and to emphasizing lack instead of emphasizing what you have. Five Cups, we all know that anybody who reads Tarot knows that card from the Rider Waite deck. It's two cups standing, or three cups standing and two cups spilled. And the very basic, like, you know, first year Tarot reading training of Five Cups is emphasize what you have, what has been gained, and do not emphasize what has been lost. And let's leave it there. For the tarot, you can take a screenshot of this spread. I suggest doing so that you have it. You can hang it up on your mirror, leave it out on your dresser. Let's get some insight from the Oblique Strategies deck. I make no secret of my admiration for Brian Eno. And one of Brian Eno's most famous methods of doing music production work with bands like U2 and Talking Heads and David Bowie. If you look up the list of bands that Brian Eno has produced, you'll find bands you love and bands you hate. And that, the ones you think are like, how can he... Then you find that he kind of got a start on David Bowie. But one thing they all have in common is the use of... I mean, this is classy. It's in a plain black box with no printing on the box and plain black cards. And it's called Oblique Strategies. And let's choose one. I'm going to give some advice. Use an unacceptable color. An unacceptable color. That's why they're called oblique strategies. Color for what? I'm not painting anything. Well, use an oblique. Now, it just turns out that a few moments ago, when I was getting my runes off of the shelf. We'll get to those in a second. I had to pull the shelf out because I dropped a rune behind the shelf. It was really late at night, and I'm like, I'm not getting that now, but I just got it. It was the blank rune, by the way. I've got this new color deck. I like anything with a deck of cards. Anything that comes in a deck. And I went to an art exhibit last summer, and it's this color deck. Oh, how do I do this? And it's not like for the Pantone matching system. This is just color for the sake of color, right? It's not color to communicate what exact color blue you want on the cover of your magazine. Now turn to a joke because nobody's screen is really calibrated. Let's pick a color, perhaps acceptable perhaps unacceptable. So that's in the red family. It is very dark red. Okay. Is that an unacceptable color? I don't know. I like that for wood. Let's get out the ancient set of runes. So these are the runes that lived in the Chironian for a few years. These are your standard Ralph Blum Book of Runes runes. These runes were made for me by an astrology client, by one of my first astrology clients. I think he worked with his mom to make these, and they were quite proud of their work. It's friggin' excellent. They're really the best runes. And let's close this up. Thank you very much, cards. This has been very handy. And let's end our session. A couple of runes we're going to read right to left. Okay. I don't remember the Viking names, but this is relationship, this is gateway, and this is movement. Let's verify that. It's been a while. I started on runes. Let's go a little bit deeper. Ralph. Movement. Gateway. Relationship. Good. I remember them. Not bad, considering I got my first runes in 1987. Okay, so here's the... That's a relationship prognosis. Movement. I'm not going to say much more. Just going to say, relationship prognosis is relationship, gateway, movement. Ready? Relationship. Gateway. Movement. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for your business and your trust. I'm working on a set of readings called Easy Does It. Easy Does It. Coming along. They'll be ready in about 2 weeks or so. All right. Thank you. Lots of love. And bye for now.